Judges chapter 19.
You ever have one of those experiences where something happens and you say to yourself, this has happened before. I've seen this before somewhere. They call that deja vu. I don't know the background of that particular coincidence, but I do know that you're going to see something in this chapter and you're going to say, I've seen that before. Where did that happen in the Bible? The answer is in Genesis chapter 19. You're going to see a situation here in Judges chapter 19 that is reminiscent of a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. But this is not Sodom and Gomorrah. This is Israel. And when you read it, it just almost makes you shudder. You say, how could it have gotten this bad? How could Israel have gone this far down? And I'll read the story to you in just a minute. I'm really in a quandary here. I'd like to read the entire chapter. It's a long chapter. I might skip over a couple of things for the sake of time tonight. But I'll tell you the story. And the story is that a Levite, and let me just back up and explain something. There are a lot of ordinary people in this chapter. People that, in one sense, we would call innocent people. There's an old man, for example. And this old man is just trying to be helpful. And he finds this Levite. The Levite is traveling, and he finds the Levite sleeping on the side of the road, basically. And he says to the fellow, come to my house. And then that leads to a horrible, horrible event. The Levite has been out of order. I'll just use that phrase. He's taken this lady to be his concubine. I'll use the Bible word there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And she ran away. He goes to get her to bring her back home. And the Bible uses the phrase husband. So something happened there to cause them to be husband and wife. And so now he goes to get her to bring her back home. And that leads to a horrible event. The horrible event is perpetrated by wicked men that are willing to kill for their own pleasure. Say, Pastor, well, that's just unheard of. Who would ever do that? Well, let me tell you what abortion is. Abortion is somebody willing to kill so they can have what they want. It's not just the murderer that shoots someone. Abortion is the very same thing. I don't want to be inconvenienced with a baby, so I'm going to kill this baby. It's the same thing you have here. Or these things that Tom were talking about, the crimes against children that we have today. People that are willing to do horrible things, and you say, how did it get that bad? That's what these people... I got to read you at least one verse before we pray. Look at verse 30. He says, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. It's never been this bad, is what he's saying. It's never gone this far. It's never been this horrible. There's never has been anything this horrific. And so he says, consider of it. Take advice. Speak your minds. It's just a picture of our world today. How can we allow gun violence, people say? And it's just horrible that children are going to school and being shot. I agree completely. And in the 1960s, when a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare and her, I'll just insult the fellow, her poverty-stricken lawyer, who, if he hadn't lived in Baltimore, I'm ashamed of Baltimore for that, he wouldn't have had the money to go to the Supreme Court to fight the case. And they got the Bible and prayer, they got prayer kicked out of public schools. Folks, when you kick God out, what's going to take his place? The word is violence. You see it in Isaiah. You see it in other places in the Bible. When you kick God out, violence fills the void. We don't want God in our schools. You know, heaven forbid that we would teach our students, thou shalt not kill. Well, we can't. That's a moral code. We can't teach that. They should be able to make their own mind up. Yeah, they did. And how many school shootings have we had as a result? And by the way, it's not the guns' fault. There have been guns in our society in much greater availability in the past couple of hundred years than they are now. It's a lot harder to come up with a firearm now than it was 100 years ago. especially in the West. And there were no school shootings in the early 1900s or in the late 1800s. The problem is not the guns. The problem is the people that are godless. And when you tell somebody you don't have to have a God to tell you what to do, you do what you want to do, then guess what? They're going to do what they want to do. And that's exactly what happens here. And there's another, and I'm going to preach my message before I read the passage, but there's one more thought before we look at this. You say to yourself, well, people can govern themselves. That's a philosophy in our land, isn't it? Oh, democracy. People can govern themselves. No, they can't. You need a God to govern you. People can govern themselves when they're governed by God. But when you have a collection of godless people, some of them, we heard the term tonight, some of them will be good people. Not everyone is inclined to mass murder or to murder for that matter or to even injure people. Not everyone is inclined to do that, but some of them are. And how many does it take? How many does it take to perpetrate a horrible crime? Just a few. And so when you lower the moral standard in your society, those people at the bottom drop on down. And oh, by the way, this is interesting. In the next chapter, after this horrible event that I'm going to read to you, and you'll hear it in a minute. I hate to even think about it right now. But after this happened, then a whole nation became aware of it and said, something's got to be done. A group of people stood up to defend the men that did the crime and stood up and fought for them. And that's a fascinating. I'm looking forward to preaching that in one degree. So anyway, I'm going to let you remain seated because this is kind of long. But I'm going to read a portion at least, bits and pieces here from Judges chapter 19. Try and get you to see the whole story. And I might not be reading a lot of it, but we'll see what happens. Let's start off in verse 1. The Bible says, it came to pass in those days. Oh, even that phrase, those days. They brought this on themselves. There's no king. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. It came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim. He's living there. Who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. And Bethlehem, Judah is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, just for the record, a concubine is a woman who cohabits with a man without the authority of legal marriage. Or perhaps a wife of inferior condition, not united to the man by the appropriate ceremonies. In other words, they're acting like they're married, but they're not. And you understand what I'm talking about. Now, somehow along the way, the Bible calls this fellow a husband. I'll let you think about that some other time. Verse 2, his concubine played the whore against him. She wasn't faithful to him, is another way to say that. And went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. It's a little picture there, perhaps, of God going and trying to redeem Israel and get him to come back to him. This concubine is a good picture of Israel. And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. And he abode with him 3 days, so that he'd eat and drink and lodged there. Now, I'm not going to read all this, but this goes on and on. But every time the fellow decides to leave, the father-in-law says, stay one more day. Enjoy some more food. You know, there's no hurry. Just stick around here. And that's kind of a governing force. When you haven't got a God to serve, a Levite ought to be busy serving God. Well, you serve your own belly and you just enjoy life and you take food and so on. And so the father-in-law keeps him around for a long time. Finally, in verse 9, the man rose up to depart again, and he and his concubine and his servant and his father-in-law said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night, like he has a couple of times already. The day groweth to an end. Lodge here that thy heart may be merry. And tomorrow get ye early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night. He rose up and departed, came over against Jebus, that's Jerusalem, by the way, which is Jerusalem, the Bible tells us. And there were with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, The day was far spent, and the servant said to his master, "Come, I pray thee, let us turn in into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it." And I'll just tell you, they really should have done that. If they'd have done that, it would have saved them a great deal of grief later on. But anyway, his master said unto him, "We will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We'll pass over to Gibeah." I'm going to go to some place where I know people and people know me, he says. He said unto his servant, "Come, let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah." Let's go to one of those cities. And you got to remember, they're not that far apart, 5 miles here, 10 miles there. They passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat him down in the street of the city. There was no man to take him in to his house to lodging. Verse 16, "And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even," which was also of Mount Ephraim, "and he sojourned," he lived in Gibeah. "The men of the place were Benjamites, and when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man," that's this Levite, "in the street of the city. And the old man said, 'Whither goest thou, and whence comest thou?' He said unto him, 'We are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, towards the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid and for the young man which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything.' And the old man said, 'Peace be with thee. However, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street.' So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now, as they were making their hearts merry," and there's a lot of that in this chapter, by the way, "behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, 'Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him.' And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, 'Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them.'" That's astounding. "And do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man do not so vile a thing." But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine, that's the Levite, took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. And they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. When the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord, that's the Levite, rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold, and you need to know she was dead. He said unto her, 'Up, let us be going,' but none answered. Then the man took her upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, 'There was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, speak your minds.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we read this passage and it disturbs us to see the suffering that takes place at the hands of wicked men. And Lord, we understand that the root cause of all this is described in verse 1. They had no king, they had no God, they had no Lord to lead them, to correct them. They had no godly standard. Each man was doing what was right in his own eyes, and wicked men did that and brought this to be. And Lord, tonight we live in a land that's just a lot like that. And people are outraged by it, but truly we are in the same condition as these folks here in Judges, because we also pray you'd forgive us in our schools, in our government, in our institutions, We have cast God out. Even in this state, a woman took an oath of office to lead the education system and chose a children's book rather than the Bible. And Lord, we know that this does not provide a situation where we can expect good things to come from it. But Lord, we understand that things are going to get worse and worse, even as the Bible prophesied that evildoers will wax worse and worse. And Lord, that there is a day coming when it will be imminent that the Lord Jesus Christ will take us out and have to judge this world. Father, help us tonight just to be able to apply this and understand it. And Lord, use a few things we can glean from it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I read the chapter a couple of times, and honestly, that last verse just jumps up and grabs you when this fellow, he is sending these body parts around the nation to reinforce the outrage that's already felt because of what's been done to this woman. And this story is going to continue in the next chapter. And you heard somebody preach some of this in our church, I don't know, 6 or 9 months ago, maybe a year ago. But it all goes back to this concept in Judges that people had of, I'll do what I think is right. I'll do what I think is right. And folks, like I've told you over and over again, if you don't have God as your guide, you're going to go the wrong way. You'll never satisfy the flesh, and things will get worse and worse. And the only hope for our nation to avoid that calamity that these people are facing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see today, again, if you look at our institutions, our government, even our churches, I was shocked. I think I read yesterday that some branch of the Methodist Church voted to reject transgendered people to be in their clergy. And why does that shock me? I thought they would accept them. Now, the press, when they write about that, what the press says, oh, this is horrible. They're being unkind to these people. Folks, if you read it in the Old Testament, you'll find out something. When your leaders honor God, that's when you thrive. And when your leaders cast God aside and choose sin, that's when you suffer. And it's amazing that the Methodist Church would make that decision, and they'll pay for it. You watch. It may be in my lifetime, but it won't be long until the Catholic Church says, it's okay to have a homosexual as if it isn't already. They will publicly say it's okay to have a homosexual priest or a transgendered priest. You watch. It's coming. And the Mormons will do the same thing eventually because they're pragmatists. They are doing what they do to get money and not to serve God. The consequence here of this wickedness, it makes us shake our heads. And this girl, whether or not she was righteous, I understand she's done some wrong things already, but she didn't deserve that. And the people, they live in a land where if it's going to happen once, it's going to happen twice. You watch it. The year's not over. There'll be more school shootings, and there'll be more murders, and there'll be more crimes against children because our nation is walking away from God. Sin only gets worse until something stops it. And God will. Amen? When God judges sin, it's not unfair. Sin needs to be judged. And when a man judges sin, it's necessary. We need to let everyone understand that we stand against sin. To let everyone do what they think is foolishness. And that's what brought this to be. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes. In the absence of a king, there were some men that are wicked men that abused this girl and to her death. And those kind of men exist in populations. There may not be many of them, but it doesn't take very many. Nobody would have ever dreamed it would get this bad. But in the eyes of some people, it was acceptable. You cannot demand upright behavior from everyone and then say, on the other hand, it's acceptable for everyone to do what they want to do and to decide what's right and what's wrong. Someone has to say, this is right, this is wrong, and the someone is God. In our nation, in our home, in our workplaces even, in our government, we ought to have God's authority and not our own. If you let somebody be their own authority, this is where it's headed. Oh, it'll never get that bad, Pastor. That's what they said. It's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And in our nation, you see it. You see things that when I was a child, My parents would have said, that'll never happen. There's no way it'll get that bad. Folks, I'm afraid we're going to see some things that make what's happening today seem rather trivial. I just wonder what the devil's going to go for next and what he's going to do to our nation next. Sin, left unchecked, can lead, left unchecked or uncontrolled, will lead to things that you never would have thought possible. There are a few people, if they're not stopped, who will do those wicked acts. And there are even going to be some men that are going to stand up and defend them. And that's what you're going to see in chapter 20, and it's shocking. But the nation comes to the tribe of Benjamin and says, we want to punish these fellows. And Benjamin says, no, we're going to defend them. That's shocking. But that's what happens when you haven't got a God. Even when the majority finds the deeds of the wicked to be outrageous, in the absence of this restraint, there will be wicked people that will do those kind of things. And as you'll see in the next chapter, it's going to lead to worse things than that. It comes to the point to where the punishment against the tribe almost obliterates the tribe. And you haven't seen it yet. You think, well, Pastor, only one person died here in chapter 19. Tens of thousands are about to die. I'll make this encouraging and we'll stop. I'm out of time. I sure am glad I'm saved.
Amen.
And I sure am glad that there is a Lord that has promised never to leave me or forsake me. And you think about it, when the Lord comes back, the Bible says, and it's one of those words that people fuss about in the King James Bible, says, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And that word let is an old word which means to stop something, to keep it from happening, to hinder it. The Holy Spirit right now is still working in this nation. The effect may not be what it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago, but can you imagine how wicked it's going to be when all the Christians are taken out? And by the way, it's the rapture of the saints, not the rapture of the church. Yeah, all the Christians are going to be taken out, and then there will be no restraining force, and the wickedness will be unbelievable. But even now, it's getting unbelievable, isn't it? I'm glad I'm saved. As a person who's lived at least two-thirds of his life, maybe more, probably more, I'm fearful for the next 20 or 30 years. You young people, you better get close to God. I'm not just saying that. You better get close to God, because if the changes that we've seen accelerate in my lifetime, if those accelerations and those changes continue, I have no idea what kind of world you're going to live in 30 or 40 years. I have no idea what kind of nation this is going to be. I strongly suspect Christians will almost be fugitives. You better decide that you're going to serve God now. Amen?
Amen.
And let me give you some good news. When you decide, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to know God, and that's not just something you write on a piece of paper and file it away, or you say it in your mind and you forget about it. It's a practice. You pray, you do your devotions. Mr. Devotion right here says, do your devotions. I'm on his side. You get close to God now, because when it starts getting worse and worse and worse, I don't care how bad it gets, God's with you. He can take care of you. But folks, this world is headed for a judgment, just as really what this is the beginning of judgment on Israel. They thought it was bad when the Midianites dominated over them. They thought it was bad when these other countries came in and took their food and took all their possessions and made them slaves. That's nothing compared to being slaves to sin. And that's what you're seeing now. And this, if you read an outline of Judges, it becomes pretty much a civil war, to where the nation itself begins to tear itself apart because of its ungodliness, just like we see happening to us right now. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen? If some young person says, well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get a job, and I'm going to make money, and I'm going to enjoy my life. That may not be possible 20 years from now. I don't care how much money you got. There may come a day when you've read in the Revelation to where the mark of the beast, to where if you don't have the mark of the beast, you can't buy and sell and so on. I think there will come a day. I hope the Lord comes back first, but there will come a day when a young person will have to say, oh, no, I'm not a Christian. Or there will be no opportunities for them. No opportunities for employment. No opportunities for whatever. It's coming. So I'd never get that bad. Yeah, what did we say 25 years ago? It'll never get that bad. Look where we are now. But praise God, he's on the throne.
Amen.
And the answer is God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't panic. Let's just keep on doing what he asked us to do. Amen? Isn't he good? Takes care of us, meets our needs, protects us. They can't lay a finger on us until he lets them. And he knows best. Let's stand and pray.